As we enter in, we'll start with some prayer, but we're going to talk about being led by God. It's something as a Christian believer, something that helps us with our just our day-to-day life. We're wanting to grow. We're wanting to grow and stay in God's presence. We're wanting to, or always in His presence. But what I mean is that we stay in that place where God is having His way and His will done right through our life, where we're not just going through the motions of Christianity. And that is so often the case, where we can kind of get into a rut. And sometimes the most exciting things of God are the times where it's not that exciting. Because that means that we are in His presence, we're in His will, we're going forward and moving through it. And with that, there will be times where things get pretty exciting, and where God has you step out in faith and do things that are fulfilling, satisfying both to you, but also to Him, and give Him the glory. But let's start with some prayer. Father, we're praising You this morning. We thank You that Your kingdom come and Your will be done, that You are the King of all kings, that You are our Lord, You're our Savior, You're our friend. And this morning, Father, as we press into being led by You, Father, we want Your Spirit to ring in our ears. We want it to draw up from within us and speak to us in ways that we truly understand, that we fulfill all that You have for us, that we yield ourselves to it, and that every day we live out our life just as a child of God being led by You, just led by the hand, shown where to be and when to be there, what to say and what not to say, that we're led by Your Holy Spirit to enter in and do all the things that You've called us to do, Father. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're talking about being led by God. Okay, one thing that, I don't know if you guys have noticed stuff like this. Often I notice things as I'm reading in the Bible. And one of the things that you may have noticed is that when you read about the people of God, okay, the men and women of God, the ones that made the pages, so to speak. There was lots and lots of people that didn't. But the ones that are in the Bible that we're reading about, the ones that are successfully accomplishing things in the kingdom of God, all seem to have something in common. Okay, not only did they believe in God, but we see that they heard from God. Okay, in other words, God spoke to them. Okay, God was speaking and they heard what He said. God showed them something or led them to do or to say something that He wanted done or accomplished. And God would speak to someone and they would go and fulfill. Think Abraham, Noah, Moses, whoever. God is speaking, they hear and they go and fulfill that. Now we know that it wasn't always in the exact same way that God would speak to them. And that's what's great about God and the way He deals with us, the way He speaks to us. If you remember, like Moses, for example, He talked to him at one point through a burning bush. Okay, I've never had that yet, right? We have lots of sagebrush. God could do it anytime He wants, right? Okay, anytime. So God talked to Moses through a burning bush. He talked to Balaam, if you remember, through a donkey. Okay, at one point, kind of got a message across to him. He spoke to Gideon through a sign. Remember, he did some fleecing, or he put the fleece out and said, God, if it's wet, I'll believe you. And then the next day, God, if it's dry, I'll believe you, or whatever. So he spoke to Gideon through a sign. Okay, he led Jonah, you could say, through circumstances. Okay, he kind of spoke, and he knew what he was supposed to do. So Jonah goes and gets on a boat, tries to go the opposite direction, and the boat gets into trouble, and the guys on the boat figure it's you or somebody on the boat. And so they kick him off the boat. He gets swallowed up by a fish, spewed out onto the land. You remember all that? You guys following me? Okay, the story of Jonah. We should show the VeggieTales if you need to remind yourself. That's a funny one. So God led Jonah, though, through those circumstances. Kind of put him where He wanted him to be, right? That fish could have spit him out in Rawlins, Wyoming, but He didn't. He spit him out where He needed him to be, where He wanted him to be. Okay, so God led Jonah through circumstances. We know that angels are frequently seen in the Bible as speaking to God's people or speaking God's message to them as a divine messenger. Okay, they were utilized to convey conversation to numerous people in the Bible between God and people. Think about Abraham, an angel spoke to him. An angel spoke to Jacob, to Zechariah, to Joseph, to Philip, many, many others. As you read, it'll say, and an angel spoke unto him, sometimes referring to the Lord Himself, and oftentimes just an angel that was sent as a messenger of God. That's what angel means. God spoke to Peter, if you remember. Some of you remember he had a vision up on a roof. God spoke to him about this sheet that came down with four corners, and then Peter went and told everybody he could about it. It was God speaking to him. He saw it clearly, and he went and did something with it. Joseph and others, God spoke to them through dreams. God speaks to me through dreams a lot. I've studied it and have books on it, and I press in, and every night, every morning, I'm constantly seem like talking to God, like, God, I want to understand that one. It was so vivid, so real. I just need to know, was it of you? Where did it come from? I go through all these kind of steps in my mind in a matter of seconds to figure out a little bit of what God is trying to speak to me through those dreams. I don't know what it was this week. It's just a side note, but Margie and I both had very vivid dreams all week long. And every morning, one of us would wake up, oh, I had a dream last night, and da-da-da-da-da, start talking about it, and the understanding starts coming. And then the next morning, it'd be Margie saying, oh, I had dreams last night. And, you know, so I don't know if anybody else had dreams this week, but we sure did. Very, very interesting stuff that God speaks through those. But that's one of the ways that God would reveal his plans and his purposes to his people. Either show them something about their own life or show them something about somebody else's life, some way that they could help them or tell them a situation that is happening or what is coming or something that is about to be or confirm something that has already happened. In the Bible, if you didn't know, the prophets, the ones that spoke and that we read about a lot, are broken into what they call major prophets and minor prophets. Basically, the length of their book is where they got their ranking. But the major and minor prophets in the Old Testament were often very confident in what they heard from God. And this is where I'm going with this, because I think we can be confident in what we hear from God. Okay, but the prophets were confident in what they heard from God, and they often conveyed it to the people, the message. They convey it to the people or to the king or to whoever the Lord told them to the nation or whatever it was. And they would start out by saying what? Thus saith the Lord. And then you got the thunder and all that, you know. Are you guys with me this morning? You guys are kind of somber. Yeah, I know that wasn't that funny, but you can still laugh. Act like you're following along. Okay. They would start out this message and they would say, thus saith the Lord. Okay, now think about that statement. That's pretty bold. That's pretty confident that this isn't me and my idea. This isn't my understanding. This is thus saith the Lord. And they would speak it out in this powerful message. In fact, that phrase, thus saith the Lord, if you look that up in a concordance in that particular phrase in a King James Bible, it was expressed more than 400 times. Okay, that is a lot of bold statements made in the name of the Lord. That has a lot of people. That tells me that a lot of people heard God so confidently that they could say, thus saith the Lord, and then repeat what they heard from God. Okay, now I noticed as I read those statements in the Bible that they were often preceded with God prompting the prophet, okay, by saying something to them like, say unto them, thus saith the Lord. So it was God saying, thus saith the Lord. Tell them, thus saith the Lord. Or he'd say, cry unto the people, thus saith the Lord. Or he'd say, therefore, prophesy unto them, thus saith the Lord. And he'd prelude it with a kind of a lead-in, telling them, this is exactly what I want you to say. But another thing that I noticed about reading the Old Testament and the prophets was that God was not always right next to the prophet when the prophet was presenting the message that they had heard. Now think about that. Okay, it wasn't like God was standing there right next to him, whispering in their ear, you know, like an audio prompter, right? Here's what you want to say, and God would speak it, and they would speak it. It wasn't like that. God would give them a message, give them something, and say, go to the people and say, thus saith the Lord, you know, and then give them this message. So if you think about that, that tells us that they had to have a confidence in what they heard that was strong enough to remain confident in, to travel for hours or days or weeks until they got to that king or to those people or to that nation and said, thus saith the Lord, and then gave the message. It meant that they had to be sure in what they knew. They had to know that they know. They had to have it deep down inside. Okay, now that stands out to me as being amazing. Okay, because think about the times that God has spoken something to you. You got something you felt like in your heart, this is what God had. And then ask that person 10 days, 10 months later, what that was, and they're not going to know. It's just reality. A lot of times we hear what the Lord wants us to do, but then we get distracted. Some relationship changes, a job change, we move, something happens in our life, or our flesh just begins to rise up and we get distracted with those kind of things. Okay, now, to me, it's amazing that they could remain confident in that message that God spoke to them maybe weeks or months earlier because of the well-known onslaught of doubt-ridden and discouraging words that the enemy is going to try to bring into a person's life to get them to question what they heard. Okay, you may have heard it clearly. You may be confident in it for the moment. But the devil likes to thwart that, to try to get you not to fulfill what God wants you to do. He desperately wants you to miss or to pass off what God has spoken to you as foolishness. He wants you to think, oh no, that couldn't be. In fact, you might even share it with somebody and they're like, oh, well, that's a little strange. And right there you're like, yeah, I guess it is. And it never goes any further. Okay, it may be that the devil tries to stir up your flesh to get you to take a step in a flesh-driven direction instead of following and fulfilling God's plan and purpose for your life. Okay, God has called you into doing something very special for Him. He has a something that He wants you to fulfill, and you start that direction, but then pretty soon the devil has got you over here and you're way off track again, and God's got to speak that to you over and over again. Some of those repetitive things that God puts in your heart that I always wanted to fill in the blank. I always felt like I should. I always felt like God is wanting me to fill in that blank, because that's what usually, if it keeps coming up again in your life, there's quite possible that something is in there that God is wanting you to do. Now, on rare occasions, if you remember in the Bible, God would actually write something on a wall. Okay, at one point, actually 2 points, He wrote something on stone tablets, right? Okay, that was a visible, physical form of communication between God and man. Okay, it was written with the finger of God, sometimes it says, or you'll read things like that. It happens in the Bible. But most often, the people of God just had to believe by faith that they were hearing God. There was no face-to-face encounter. There, you know, even Moses talking to a burning bush, you know, how did he know that was God? Moses was walking by faith. He had a faith in his Creator, in his God. People had to spiritually grab hold of that which they were hoping for by faith. Isn't that what faith is? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. So by faith, they would grab hold of something that they believe God had spoken to them, and they would go that direction. Now, for us today as believing Christians, we have a phenomenal, extraordinary, put in the best word you can think of, advantage over Old Covenant prophets. Okay, because the Bible tells us very clearly that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. Okay, He lives and dwells with us. We have received the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God Himself. In fact, because the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, is in us, we are told that we can know the things of God. Okay, we can connect with Him because of the Spirit within us. Look at John chapter 16, verse 13, to get started with some scriptures. Jesus is speaking here, and He says, He's talking about the Holy Spirit. He says, "Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth," the capital S, the Holy Spirit of truth, "is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come." Okay, now this is Jesus talking about the coming of the Holy Spirit. You remember he told us that it was coming, and then in the book of Acts, first couple chapters, we get to see that experience. Okay, Jesus is saying the Holy Spirit of truth that's coming unto you is going to show you things to come. The only one that could know that is not you and me, it's God and the Holy Spirit of God that can then reveal it to us. Okay, then after the Holy Spirit has come, the Apostle Paul puts it this way in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. He says, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us, believers, by his Holy Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, even the deep things of God." And then Paul explains how it happens. In verse 11, he says, "For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man, but the Spirit of God does. Now we have received," past tense, "not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, so that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God." In other words, because of the Holy Spirit in you, connecting with God, you can know the things of God. God has unveiled or revealed the most in-depth things that we need to know by and through His Holy Spirit within us. Okay, the Spirit of God inside of us diligently explores and examines everything, including the most profound and divine counsels of God. The Holy Spirit knows that. That's good stuff. That's what the Spirit within you knows. That's how we can know things that we have no other way of knowing, okay, is by connecting with the Spirit of God. He's already inside of us. Just like it's your human spirit, okay, that perceives, knows, and understands what passes through your thoughts. Okay, that's why your thoughts are important. Okay, remember, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what's going through your mind ends up in your heart, which is what comes out. Your spirit knows that. It knows what you're thinking about. It knows what you're processing every day. It knows what you're struggling with. It knows what you're anticipating. It knows what you're hoping for. That's the spirit of man, knows all the things that go on in your head. Okay, but now with the Spirit of God within you, you can discern, come to know, and understand the things of God as well. Okay, so it's no longer just about you and understanding what your mind is up to. Now you can have, quote, the mind of Christ, right? You can understand what the Spirit of God is connecting with God and hearing and understanding. You can know that as well. Okay, now there's something about being led by God. Okay, that's what we're talking about. There's something about being led by God by faith that you have to understand. Okay, follow me on this. Walking by faith doesn't mean that you will hear and understand everything all at once. We want that. We want to know the end from the beginning. God does. There are some things that we can get glimmers of, glimpses of. But so often what I have found is that we are pressing into God to know the whole plan. Okay? But walking by faith means that you may only hear what the very next step is. Once you act on that next first step, then the Spirit can reveal some more. There is something that I have to know in order to go to the next step, but I've got to get this part down first. Okay, does that make sense? Look at Psalms chapter 37. It's one of my favorite chapters in the entire Bible, Psalms 37. In verse 23, it says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way." Okay, now the "he" in that last part is the Lord. It says, "he delights in your way." Okay, it literally means that God busies himself with your every step.
Thank you, Lord.
Every step. Not just the end result, but God busies himself, makes it part of who he's working out, what he's doing in your life, for every single step that you take. So walking by faith is not always just about the end result. Okay, sometimes we tend to focus on that way out there, the end result, but God is seriously interested in every step that you take. For you to take the next step may be more of a milestone in God's mind or in His eyes than the end result of all your other steps put together. God may need you to take that next step, whatever that is, because from that, then He can do more. But He's waiting. You've got to take that first step, that next one, whatever it is, big or small. Okay, walking by faith is not always about that, just the end result. I think sometimes people talk themselves out of walking by faith because they think that, you know, a great man or woman of faith is going to be raising people from the dead and healing people and casting out demons and speaking a word of knowledge and doing all these things. And we set ourselves up that that's the end result of faith, right? But sometimes God just wants us to take one little baby step in that direction. One little step of faith to say, God, I'm in this with You. I don't know where this is going to end up, but I'm stepping in and we're going deeper. Okay, walking by faith for you may very well just be taking the time to ask God in a simple prayer to help you find your lost keys. Okay, it might be just talking to God about who He would have you to talk to today. It might be, you know, letting God reveal Himself, asking Him in a prayer of faith, just saying, God, show me Yourself in a way that I understand. Okay, that is a step of faith that some people don't ever take. They don't ask God to show up. They don't ask God to show Himself, to reveal Himself. Okay, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9 says that a man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Okay, to direct your steps, when I hear the word direct or director, or, you know, it makes me think of a director. Some guy that's sitting in a chair somewhere barking out orders, here's what you need to do and not do. That's not what directeth means in this verse. Okay, that word directeth literally means that God will form or fashion your steps. Again, implying that He is very interested in every individual step that it takes to get something done. So what's the next step? Okay, so often we're struggling to hear from God. We want to know how to get to that final destination, but we need to be looking for what we're supposed to do in the next moment. Okay, what do I do with this message? Okay, what do I do when I walk out the door? What am I going to do Monday morning at work? Asking God for that next step that He wants to take in your life. And I think if you pay attention, you're going to figure out pretty quickly that God designed you and He knows how to get a message across to you. That's why He used bushes and donkeys and dreams and all these different ways to speak to people, because everybody's a little bit different. Everybody's gone through different stuff. We've experienced things. We've dealt with life in however way. And God has a way to speak to you personally how He can get a message across to you. What is it that you'll need to know in order to act on? What is it that will stir your heart to the point you'll take that next step and do something? Okay, if you pay attention, you'll start to figure that out. Okay, sometimes we're asking God to show us what we're supposed to do way out here, and God has been speaking plainly to us about it the whole time. Take the next step. Okay, I remember one time when I was helping our pastor plant a church in Pocatello, Idaho. This is many years ago. Pocatello was a pretty tough environment for planting churches, if a Christian church, Spirit-filled Christian church. It was about 70% Mormon. There was lots of churches already in that community and whatever, but that's where we felt led we're supposed to go. My pastor did. And so we went with him. We're planting a church there. And after about 9 months, things weren't going very well. It was probably 8 or 10 people in the church besides my family, my wife and I. And so the pastor was seriously considering joining that church up with one that was already in motion, so the people had a place they could still be fed, and then moving on, moving to a different place across the country or whatever to plant another church. Okay, so one night we went out to a walking path. It was a few miles outside of town. My wife and I live kind of on the corner of town of Missoula or Pocatello, Idaho. And we drive just a few miles down the road, you're right into the mountains. There was a stream there, and there was a walking path. Some of it was paved and some was not paved. And the sole purpose of us going out to this place was to spend time with God, seeking His direction. You know, where were we supposed to go? What were we supposed to do? I remember that I somehow got alone on a trail. It was my pastor and his wife and my wife and myself. And I got alone on this trail and kind of went off by myself a little ways. And I literally wept and wailed and cried out to God in desperation. I think at one point I was even on my knees and elbows crying out to God in the middle of the forest. I was asking God to show me where we were supposed to move. Some places had been mentioned in conversation with Pastor. And so I was asking him, God, are we supposed to move to Maine? God, are we supposed to move to North Carolina? Are we supposed to move to Nebraska or Montana? These were different places that had been mentioned. Even though it really wasn't my decision at all where we ended up moving, I wanted to hear clearly where it was so that I could confirm it for my pastor. So if he said, I think we're supposed to go to Missoula, Montana, I could say, that's it. That's what God gave me too. I really wanted to know the name of that location. But even with all my ranting and raving and crying out to God, I really didn't hear anything. I cried a lot, had some good times with God, but I really didn't hear where we were supposed to go. Okay, in hindsight, I can now look back and realize that I was praying for the final destination. I was wanting to know the location, but God was still back here on the step of the timing. Okay, once the when was determined, the location became obvious. Okay, and you know what my pastor heard when he went off and prayed? He heard the timing. Okay, so I'm back here praying, God, show me the location, location. I got to confirm this. And pastor was off praying for the timing, and he got the timing because that was the next step. Once he knew when, he set a date, then everything else fell into place. I kid you not, it was something miraculous the way things fell into place. You know, I can look back at that and realize that I was praying for something out here when God was way back here on the first step. So we ended up, just to finish that for you, we ended up in Grand Island, Nebraska, okay, and started the Oasis Community Church of Grand Island. Okay, my point is that being led by God is probably nowhere near as complicated as we make it out to be. Okay, we make it more difficult by trying to have everything figured out from the beginning, or we try to figure out the end. This is what the end is going to look like, therefore I need to take these steps. Okay, it's like we don't want to move until we see the finish line. Okay, but how awkward would that be in a marathon? Okay, you would never take the first step. You would never get that final, here, there it is, and now I'm going to go. Okay, maybe you could do that in a 100-yard dash or something, but not in the marathon of Christianity that we live in. Okay, every race starts with a literal first step. We've got to get in motion, got to be going in that direction. You know, you don't have to hear from a, let me back this up, about walking by faith. Okay, because we complicate it so much, but it's really not that difficult. Because of the hope that is in us, we have something we're hoping for. God has given a desire, a hope in our heart, that we can reach out for an expected end. We have something that deep down we are hoping for, and then we take one step in that direction. If it's against God and His ways, the Spirit of God within you is going to be grieved by it, and He will let you know that something is not right. Okay, likewise, if I see out there, I believe this is the direction God wants me to go, and I take a step in that direction, and I have peace with that, and things start the next step, another moment of peace with God. And I understand in my spirit that I'm going in the direction that God wants me to go. Okay, that's how we can understand some of the way that we are supposed to go in life. You know, you're not trying to hear from a God that's out there in outer space somewhere. Okay, you just have to learn to yield to the promptings of the Holy Spirit of God inside of you, that He is leading you to take that one step, that next step. Remember how I mentioned earlier about the Old Testament prophets? That they were so confident that they heard God that they could literally say, "Thus saith the Lord." Okay, well, as a Holy Spirit-infused Christian, you can be confident that God is speaking to you and leading you. Then as you're communicating with Him about every step that you take, you can rest assured that you will be heading in the best direction. And I remember Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, one of my favorites, okay? That we are to trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. And what's He going to do? He will direct thy steps. Fashion, form, make them right there in front of you. You put your foot out to step down and God fashions your next step so that you're right where He wanted you to be. Okay, I want to give you an example as I close this morning. Something that hopefully will encourage you that walking by faith and believing that God is leading you is not that hard. We have a morning devotions that we get together as a family and we spend time, we go through something, either a chapter, a verse, or a regular devotion by somebody. And then we pray. And every day it's somebody else's turn. And everybody kind of has their day. My big day is Fridays, right? And that's Dad's turn to pray today. Well, this one day, it was earlier this week, I think it was Isaac's day to pray, or Elijah's, one of the two boys. And we had a whole bunch of things going on that day, some of which, because of fatigue, things going on in my life and Margie's, and we just hadn't gotten the sleep the night before or whatever, so it was going to be a difficult, kind of dangerous day. Okay, there was going to be a lot of things that could go wrong. And so one of the prayers, you know, we say, well, what should we pray about today? And so we kind of pipe out a few things and say, just pray for us to be safe today and for things to go well because, you know, there's opportunity for it to go the other way. And so that prayer was made that we would have a safe and productive day, that everything would go according to God's plan. And that was the prayer that was prayed. So from there, I went outside, time to feed the livestock. Okay, and out in our place, we give some grain to the horses, okay, and some to certain cows and different things that we have. Well, I had a bucket of grain that I did not use the day before. It was for the horses, and I went to carry it out to the horses, and the horses were 2 miles away out in the pasture, and I said, "You're not getting grain today." And I took the bucket back and put it in our feed shed, okay, which is just this little dilapidated little building, got a busted out window and dirty, hard, you know, wood floors and kind of things in it. And I just set it in there the day before. So that morning I go out and that bucket had been tipped over, probably by a raccoon it looked like, had knocked the bucket over and stirred up some other stuff in the shed. Well, it spilled that bucket on this dirty floor. Well, I had gloves on and so I thought I'll just scoop up the, you know, as much of the clean stuff. I didn't get it all because I didn't want the dirt in there. But I scooped up about 3 handfuls and threw it back in the bucket and off I go and I'm feeding this to the horses. I get out there and their trough is like this. And I dump it in the trough, and I took 2 steps away, and I felt prompting by the Holy Spirit at that moment to look back at what I just dumped into that feeder. And I took it, looked like grain to me, you know, but I dumped it in. I started walking away, and I just felt like I was supposed to look back at that. And I stepped back, and there was a piece of glass in it, about the size of a quarter, maybe a little bit bigger, that one of the horses was about to eat. Okay, you know, I don't know, it might have survived or whatever, but I don't think it would have been healthy for the horse to eat a piece of glass that big. Even if they did crunch it up, it's still not going to be good for him. And so at that moment, I went back and I grabbed that handful of stuff and threw it in a garbage or whatever. But as I'm walking away, I instantly thanked the Lord for directing my steps. Because I was turning to walk away and felt something. God is saying, no, go back and look at that. And I did. And I think it saved a horse's life. Okay, that is those kind of moments that we can walk in that when we're acknowledging God. God, I'm going out. It's going to be a hard day. I need you on this day to direct my steps. God will direct your steps, it says right there. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your steps. Okay, now I can speak confidently this morning that God has already spoken to each one of you this morning. He's already sharing something with you. Some of you, he might have, you know, woke up when your alarm didn't go off. He woke you up anyway so that you could be here. Okay, or maybe God has laid somebody on your heart that he wants you to talk to, or maybe you already did. Okay, God has laid something. He's been speaking something to you along that line. Maybe God is speaking to you through this message about just taking that next step. There's something you kind of wanted to do, but you just haven't ever stepped out. And maybe today God is speaking to you saying, I just want to take that step today. I'm going to step out in faith and see where God leads me. Okay, no matter what it is, as we learn to let God lead and trust his lead, that he is leading me, as we step out, it can become an everyday part of life. That we are led by God without even trying hard. We are just acknowledging him in our ways, and it becomes a way of life for us. Amen. Doesn't that sound good? Living a way of life where you're just led by God. Not led by your flesh. You're not letting the world influence you anymore, but you're led by God. Amen. Father, we are praising you this morning. It is by your Spirit that we are led, Father. We yield ourselves to you. I pray that as we go from here, Lord, even the conversations before we leave and conversations after we leave and our work that we go to tomorrow or today or whenever it is, Lord, that we will yield ourselves to those promptings. We will be listening and looking, anticipating that you are speaking to us all day long. And Father, if we are listening, tuned in just a little bit, we can begin to walk in your ways more and more and more. Father, open our hearts to be yielded to you. Cause us to see you, to look for those things and the ways that you are speaking to us. Not being goofy about it, but Lord, just anticipating that you are speaking and that we can trust you to speak clearly in a way that we will understand. Lead us with peace. Lead us with promptings and show us that direction. And Father, if we begin to step away from that, then show us something. Reveal it in our hearts. Just give us that uneasy that I'm just sure that this is not right. At that moment, Lord, I pray, help us to turn. Help us to stop. Help us to yield ourselves to you and not continue down that path. Father, we're trusting you this morning. You are good to us. You love us and care for us. Thank you for providing for us and leading us in such a powerful way. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.